Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless.
Yeah!
Here will be Kay, and she's going to take us to where we're going to be talking about tonight. So
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for allowing us to do this one more time. Father God, let me and Kate decrease that you may increase. Father God, we just ask that you continue to bless us, hide us where we're not seen, but your word is seen. Father God, bless the listeners that's listening, that they may learn something and it may be useful for them. Give them the ear to hear the word, Father God, and not let them just be hearers, but let them be doers of what they hear and of your word. Father God, if there's anything in me or Kay that is not right, we ask for your forgiveness right now, Father God, for the things that are unknown and the things that are known. We ask that for your forgiveness right now. And Father God, we ask that you give us the strength to rightly divide your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, Kay is on you. You can go ahead and take it away, and I'm going to sit back and I'll fill in like I normally do.
Okay. All right, well, tonight we're going to be talking about joy to the world. So I was thinking about this the other day in regards to, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in our emotions and our feelings, and the thing about it is we got to stop living. I want to call it surface living. We need to stop doing this surface living. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to actually lead and guide us. So the only way you can have joy is if you allow the Lord to put that joy inside of you. So we're going to be talking about that. So, you know, the world tells us that there are plenty of paths to happiness. So we're going to start there. So different paths to happiness could be earning your college degree or climbing the corporate ladder, getting a new car for a lot of us, a bigger house, getting to your goal weight. I know this New Year's is coming around, and that's always a goal for people, is to get to their ideal goal weight. Marrying the perfect person, as if one exists. So marrying the perfect person, your kids acting right, or even making a lot of money. All those things are things that we look at to determine our happiness. We try to create our own happiness by, you know, checking off enough of those boxes that I just mentioned. Oh, I got this check. I got that check. And we think that that's going to truly make us happy when we check off of those boxes. And we tend to look at, you know, to the world for something it can never give us. So we're looking to the world for all these things. We're seeking all these worldly desires. Nothing wrong with wanting better, but we tend to want more. And it's the more factor that kind of messes us up and gets us off track. So the more things of life. So God didn't design us for happiness. Happiness, again, like I said, it's about searching for more. More of this, more of that. If I can only do this, if I can only do that. And, you know, happiness is also situational. It's temporary. How many times have you been mad or unhappy about a situation, and the next thing you know, something good comes along, and then you're happy? So I was telling my husband, it's like a roller coaster, up and down, depending on the weather, is going to determine if you're happy or not. And, you know, God didn't design us, like I said, for happiness. He designed us for joy. And so we do have to live beyond happiness by finding joy. We got to reset our thinking. And the best way to do that is through the word of God. So we have to do a reset. And I know, I think this is a scripture, but I know it as a song. It says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. But a lot of the times we do let the world control how we feel. We let the world control the joy that should only come from the Lord. So we just got to do things a little bit different, because, you know, joy is deeper than happiness. And joy is not always dependent on your situation like happiness is. Joy comes from God, not your circumstances. And I know we've all experienced, you know, sad times, horrible situations, life-changing situations. I know personally I've experienced life-changing situations. And that has caused some of us to question God. We can't seem to understand why he allows certain things to happen. And the thing about it is joy doesn't come naturally to us. Joy is not automatic. It's something the Holy Spirit grows in us as we spend time talking to God and growing in our relationship with him. You just can't wake up and say, oh, well, I got joy. You have to grow this thing. And a lot of times we go through a lot of situations in life, and those situations, unknowingly, we are actually growing our joy. Because I know there are times in your life where you're like, I don't know how I made it through that situation, but the Lord's joy was there the whole time. It may not look like it outwardly. We may have signs physically, emotionally, that people can see, but on the inside, there is some joy there, and that's the only thing that's keeping you together. So I'm going to let my husband speak for a minute. Go ahead, husband.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Talking about joy and the difference between, you know, happiness and joy. Happiness and joy is totally two different things. And we equate joy and happiness together like they're brother and sister, and they're not even remotely close. And I just want to share a few things, and then I'm going to turn it back over. But, you know, the Bible, joy is truth. It's authentic joy. It's true happiness is found in God's presence. You know, joy is true happiness found in God's presence. It has nothing to do with possessions. It has nothing to do with situations. Joy is found in God's presence. So if you feel God's presence, you should have joy. And also, joy is very essence of God's character. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 15:27 says, the strength and joy fill his dwelling. And that's 1 Chronicles 16:27. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. So if you have joy, you have strength. If you got the strength, you got joy. Some days you may just feel tired and you don't want to go on, but the strength tells you you have to keep going. That ought to be your joy, that you can continue to keep going. Again, there have been incidents in my life where, and I'm just going to bring this up, when my sister passed, and, you know, for a day or two, I was numb. But during the time that she passed, at the time of her funeral, me and my brothers, we took another route. We celebrated it. And upon the celebration of that time, there was a lot of good times amongst my brothers. We didn't let it defeat us. We didn't let it sorrow, because my sister knew the Lord, number one. And number two, the scripture tells us, you know, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And because mm-hmm. she knew the Lord, we took comfort. A lot of people thought that we were doing other things, and there was probably other things going on, but we were at peace. Ain't saying we wasn't sad or caused us to go into a depression, but it was unexpected. So we still had that strength. We still had that joy. So just because you got a lot of money doesn't mean that you have joy. Just because you have a family doesn't mean you have joy. There's a lot of people, and I'm going to be done. Me and my wife were speaking earlier about this, and there's people who are in relationships, but they're not happy. But they have the form of happiness. The world tells them they're happy because you have a husband, because you have a wife, and because you may even have a couple of dollars in the bank. It doesn't make you have joy, because, number one, you're doing it without the presence of the Lord. And if you don't have the presence of the Lord, now you're looking at this to fulfill something that can't be fulfilled. You can't fulfill joy. That's something spiritual. It's not fleshly, if I can say that. But I'm going to be quiet, because I can keep on going over and over. So go ahead.
Well, like you just said, joy is spiritual. I mean, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So I'm going to take you to Galatians 5:22-23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So the only way you can have joy is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what's going to grow in you, give you that joy. And the beautiful thing about joy is that it never runs out. It's not like I reached the end of my rope, I can't have any more joy. Joy is everlasting. Like, if you got joy, if you got the Holy Spirit, you can ride that on out until eternity. So that's the beautiful thing about joy. It's not something that's dependent on your circumstances or situation. And unlike happiness, you know, like I said earlier, depending on the weather, your feelings could change. And the minute you get caught up in your emotions and your feelings, you're not gonna go down, you know, the right path anyway, because you're caught up in your flesh. So you got to let the Spirit lead and guide you. And every single day, there are reasons to be joyful. Every day that you wake up is special because God gave it to you. And it's up to you how you handle it. So you determine the outcome of your day. My day started out today. I was great. I was in my zone. It was quiet. Everybody was in their own room. I had the downstairs to myself. I'm sitting there. I'm enjoying the Lord, studying. And my attitude, and I said, boy, this is the day for this happiness and joy, because I experienced some not happy moments today. And I'm like, I was not happy because it was, a lot of my time was taken up, and I didn't know it was going to go that far. But at the end of the day, God still gets the glory. I made it back for tonight, so God still gets the glory at the end of the day. So, you know, I want to
interrupt you right there. Because people, when you said you had, because you were at peace earlier, and, you know, life happens, and sometimes we get taken out of our comfort zone. And when we get out of our comfort zone because we don't want to do certain things that we have to do, we get an attitude. And that doesn't mean that you don't have joy, because at the end of the day, you're back in your home, is your bills is paid. So the joy is still there. And a lot of times if we, not saying I'm not picking on you, but we allow our flesh to dictate our joy. And sometimes we do that. And it, because we're not comfortable doing other things that makes us comfortable. And every time I try to do something to get comfortable, I'm always uprooted and get a frown. And to be honest with you, I really shouldn't be frowning, because, you know, the Lord was chastising me. When people need you or you have to do things, it's a joy, because you have the strength, you have the ability, you have the, and God put you in that position to do something, not to be comfortable. And the thing about it is later on tonight, I can come right back into my house and be comfortable, knowing that all my bills are paid, knowing that I'm in my right frame of mind. That's where the strength and the joy is. But throughout the course of the day, and it's hard to separate the flesh from the spirit, because in the flesh, sometimes you just want to sit down and not do nothing. And it's okay to have that feeling, but the joy is the knowing that the knowing that you have that eternal rest. And when you have that, when you start to think about it, it's like, wow, that's deep. Because I have joy, I got strength, I cannot be destroyed. Whether I got a dollar or $100 in my pocket, sometimes when I got $100 in my pocket, that's when people are at you. You can't even enjoy it because people are after it. But the joy of everything is when you don't have nothing and you can still sit there and give God the praise because he took care of all of your needs. And I hope I'm making sense when I say that, because there's two separate things, you know, because you can be happy for a minute, but you have joy everlasting. The fact that I'm in good health and my wife is in good health, our kids are in good health, that's something to be joyful about. The fact that we can go out in public and run the streets, we may not want to do it, but there's some people who can't do it. And when you start thinking about things in a different way, it makes that joy and strength that much stronger.
Now, you know, about today, so my issue is, this is a self-check for me, because Mondays, I'm usually at work. And anybody that know me, don't bother me on Mondays, because I have a process that I go through to prepare for tonight. I don't want to go out the door. That's my policy, and it's been my policy since the beginning, whenever we started this back, I believe, in March or April. Don't talk to me on Mondays. I'm busy. My mind is focused. And so today, you know, I'm on vacation from work. There was no work. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. I don't got to go out the door. I don't got to do nothing but study the word of God. And then, you know, my daughter needed, her car needed to get towed. And I'm like, okay, it's cool. I can do it at 1 o'clock. I need to be back by at least 3 so I can get situated again. This is my brain thinking. And we get there, the tow people said, we'll arrive at 2:35. Okay, we're there at 2:35. Next thing you know, it's 3:15. Next thing you know, it's 3:40. Then it was 4:15. And then it was 5:01. I said, what? So this is like my whole day. And I'm like, so I was out of my comfort zone. And I'm like, I don't know how to kick it into the next gear when I'm out of my comfort zone and I'm not where I want to be in my zone. And so today has shown me, okay, the Lord got you. You've been studying this whole time. He got you. See, but I'm dependent on my flesh, because this is what I know I need to do. I need to do what I need to do. And because I didn't get to do the way I wanted to do it, at the end of the day, it still worked out, because we got here about 6:45, like right before we went to go on. But the thing is, I already have my notes. I have my scriptures. And I'm like, okay, Lord, it's in your hands at the end of the day, no matter what. So I'm still going to give him the glory. Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. At the end of the day, I'm still going to rejoice. I still got joy, regardless of how I thought my day was going to go. It still ended up being a good day, because my daughter is getting her car fixed right now. So that's a blessing. So I just got to learn how to shift into another gear. So that's my testimony for today. I do thank God for at least letting me prepare to study his word, so I don't feel like I'm unorganized today. So I thank God for that.
But so also,
unhappiness is gone. Go ahead.
Well, what you're saying, and you know what I get from what you're saying, and I think a lot of other people, especially if you're a teacher or a preacher, or even just a normal person, when the ability for you to do ministry or help someone, whether it's your kids, whether it's the neighbor, whether whoever it is, sometimes it ain't always the best time for you or whoever to help. But when you go that extra mile and you do that extra thing, that's part of being a Christian. That's part of being a disciple of Christ, when you go that extra mile. Regardless, you didn't want to, you didn't feel like it. That's when that strength comes in. And then after you do what you do, you can have the joy of knowing that you were used to help a brother or a sister, you know, get to that destination for that day. And we never know what other people are going through. So that's why you have to be mindful and have that joy and strength, because they go hand in hand. And the physical, the fleshy is always tired. The flesh don't never want to do right. And that's the
right
problem we have to fight. And how do you get joy? How do you get strength? Well, it's very simple. You get it by reading the word of God. Because when you read the word of God, that's how you serve the Lord. You read it. You continue to read it. Because there's many days he didn't feel like doing things. I'm sure he felt like getting off the cross on Calvary, but he didn't, because it wasn't comfortable for him. It wasn't what he was used to, but because he knew he had to help other people in order for us to get to where we're trying to go. That's why it's very important, when you're serving the Lord, you do it with joy. You do it with happiness. You do it with a smile, because you don't want the enemy to use you and beat it up where you feel like you're being used by everybody. It's not that you're being used. It's the fact of the matter is the Lord is you're a servant of Christ. So when I help people, regardless whether I want to or not, the more people I help, the better I feel spiritually. I may not feel better that day, but along the line, I look and I'm like, well, I did a lot. And sometimes my wife will tell me, you're doing too much. You can never do too much serving the Lord. You can never do too much. And then sometimes you do got to take a break. There's a balance, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, I'd rather over-exhort myself trying to please the Lord than sit there and be lazy and be like, I ain't doing nothing. That's just my personal opinion. So I'm hoping everyone understanding that joy isn't always because you have all of the possessions and all of the money that you want. That's not joy. That's a form of happiness. But when the money runs out, you're sad. You can never have a sad, joyous day where you don't have no joy no more. You allow the enemy to take your joy, you have no strength. And if you have no strength, you can't fight. You can't fight. Eventually, you're going to lose because the devil ain't playing in these days right now. And if he can get you to think that your joy is your happiness, there's not a lot of happy people right now.
You know, there's a scripture that that I came across, and I was like, okay, I think I might have failed that scripture for a short period of the day, maybe an hour or two of the day. I may have failed this scripture, but it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I wasn't giving thanks when I was sitting there waiting on that tow man for over 3 hours. I was not giving thanks, but at the same time, first I did take my study notes with me, and you know, I got my phone. I'm like, I was prepared. I had my charger, so I was still prepared to study. And because when I come on here, I want to present the best of what the Lord has for me to say. I don't want to just get on here and just talk and just hold a conversation. This is for a purpose. And when I do it, I have to do it the way the Lord wants me to do it. And I just didn't feel comfortable within myself. I feel great right now, but prior to right now, I was like concerned. I felt overwhelmed and I felt rushed. And I'm like, now I'm like, okay, Lord, you got this. I am good to go. So I do thank God for the time. I mean, I spend time with my daughter, my grandbaby. That's always a good thing. So I'm not complaining about the time maybe I needed to spend that time with them. So I need to look at with different lenses. I got to look at it in a different way. So I do thank God for bringing us through on this day. And at the end of the day, we all face a lot of trials. We all have things that we go through. And at times we may feel that, you know, it's hard to find joy in a situation. You know, it's not like I said earlier, it's not an automatic thing. It's something that you have to get from the Spirit. So you can't just say, oh, I'm going to wake up and have joy. You see a lot of people with these fake smiles. I say they're forced smiles. They're just forced. They're teasing. But it's not a joyful heart. It's their heart is not joyful. They're just giving you, they're faking the funk. You see it on Facebook all the time. I see people posting. I see their family pictures, and I see them with their boo and all this. And I know the real deal. I know behind that picture was really going on, but they fake it for, you know, for whatever social media site they're on. They fake it for that. And it's like, when are you going to get tired of faking? When do you want to have real joy? Not this joy that's made up that you put together yourself. It's not going to last. The only way you can have true joy, you have to get in the Word. You have to spend time with God. You got to worship the Lord. You need to be in fellowship with other believers of Christ. Those are the way that you cultivate the joy that's within you. You can't get it by doing these fake posts. I have a big problem. I don't post that often. If I do, it'll be like a trip or whatever wherever we went. But there's nothing fake going on in the background. I know the real deal. And my prayer is that you, whoever's listening, that you realize life is too short. Why are you faking? Who are you faking for? Why not clean up whatever is messed up and try to get it right? If you're in a situation that you should not be in, pray. The Lord will always provide a way of escape. Pray, ask the Lord to lead and guide you to get you out of whatever situation, if it's a relationship, if it's the wrong job, anything, if you're in the wrong house, anything that you're in, you pray, Lord, seek guidance to get out of that situation so that way you can get that joy. There's nothing like going to bed at night with joy. Everything could be going on, chaos all around you. But if you're sleeping like a baby, you got joy. Only God can give you that peace when there's hell all around you. So just, you know, seek the Lord. You know, look at the situation, you know, that you may be going through right now. And, you know, and it may make it hard to feel joy in this situation that you're in right now. You may not be happy. There's a lot of things that's going on that you just may not feel is right. You may be upset. Maybe you lost a loved one and you're like, Lord, how many times do I got to go through this? Maybe you're feeling down. Like, why did you have to take that person? She was a good person. He was a good person. Why did you have to do that? And you're questioning, Lord, why? Because you're not happy right now. Nobody is happy when it comes to someone dying, not in our physical. We're not happy about that. But at the end of the day, if that person knew the Lord, we have to rejoice. We need to be grateful. We need to be thankful because we know where they're going to be going. So that's a joyous situation, even though it may not feel that way at this time. I just read that 1 Thessalonians, you know, you got to rejoice always, pray continually. So you still got to find somewhere to give the Lord thanks. Well, at least they don't have to do this anymore. I look at like when I lost like some family members, like they're not in pain anymore. I don't like that I can't see them physically. I can't be with them. But, Lord, thank you. They're not in pain anymore. There's some people something may happen, and you just don't know. The Lord is protecting their mind. You don't even know why they're in this situation that they're in. I look at my mother. My mother's been through a lot of things. She's young. She's, 61 years old. And the way she had a stroke, she had cardiac arrest, and her mind, like, she still remembers some things, and she'll call you. She know how to call all her daughters and talk to the grandkids. But her mind, to me, is protected by some of the hurt that's going on and that has gone on that she wouldn't be able to handle. So we just never know why the Lord does things. So we should be joyful and grateful at all times, regardless if we like the way it looks or not. I feel like I'm talking a lot. Go ahead, husband.
You're good. No, you're good. You are good. The thing about it is I think people along when you're doing this Christian walk mistake things sometimes, and we get caught up in the okay, because you get blessed this way or blessed that way, that's your joy, that's your happiness. Nah. And, you know, joy is regardless whatever the situation is. If you're doing good right now, praise the Lord, you're doing good. You still should have the joy of the Lord. If you're struggling to make ends meet, you still should have joy because the Lord is giving you another day. And the good thing about when you're dealing with the Lord is you can always hit the reset button. There's no penalty. There's no crime to start over. And you know, you and I know that very well. We had to start over. And it wasn't fun hitting that reset button. But since we hit the reset button, it's been good. And I'm talking about some things personally. You know, I got to go into details, but you got to start over. And if you're starting over with the Lord, the thing about it is you have a clean slate. And once you have a clean slate, that makes you feel better because you've forgiven other people, you've forgiven yourself, and you're good. And it doesn't matter what anybody says or take you to, you're still good. Even though it hurts some days, Your family can hurt you, your friends, people at work, just the world can hurt you, but it still can't take away my joy. Because at the end of the day, I win. And that's what people need to understand. Would it be sad if something happened to Brother D? Yes, it would. Should some people be crying? Yes, they should. But at the end of the day, there's a crown laid up for me. That's what I'm working so hard for. That's why I need the strength. I need the joy. Because there's going to come a day that I get to cash in. And that's a great day. And the Bible speaks about that day. So can nothing steal my joy? So you can threaten me all you want. You can curse me all you want. It really doesn't matter. And that's where we try and that's be my point tonight. If you're living the life and you're living for Christ, there shouldn't be anything that can separate you from the love of God. And once you get that love of God in his presence, you have the joy, you get the strength. Because every time you hear the word, it strengthens you, it encourages you. There'll be one time, if things didn't go my way, I would get attitude. I'll be mad. And I try to justify it. And it would do, the Lord would have to show me over and over and over again, it's not my will, but it's his will. So now I don't have nothing to worry about because all my burden, he told me to lay, give it to him. And once I give it to him, I don't worry about it no more. And we've been talking a lot about stuff that we've been going through too. And you know, a few weeks ago, I spoke about my vehicle getting fixed. It's still not fixed. It's still sitting in the same spot. And I'm dealing with these people. And I'm wondering, why am I dealing with these people? And Lord, you said, I'm trying to see where you're going to go. So today I'm dealing with the same ignorant people. I wanted to do and say certain things. But the Lord allowed me to say things where I even amazed myself because I didn't get ugly. I didn't. And I very easily could have and justified it. And I could have easily said, well, I'm not at that level yet. But the Lord is telling me it's time out for making excuses. Either you're going to have his joy, his peace, and his happiness, or you're going to allow people to dictate to you your happiness.
Amen.
And you have no joy, and you have no strength. So you just have to be careful who you surround yourself with. Because you can help somebody, and they can take your help and throw it right in the dirt. And it will hurt you, but at the end of the day, I did my part. You're not in control of what other people do and how other people feel. And that gives me joy because a lot of people look at me funny because they try to hurt me. And they're like, I still got joy. And I'm still going to continue to do what I do. So therefore, I'm in a good place, but it takes time. It takes experiences. But this isn't something in the physical. And you know, we keep talking, you know, my wife know my two boys had an issue. And I don't mind putting them on blast because they know me. One was right, one was wrong. And regardless of which one was right, which one was wrong, the parenting is still the same. The one that was wrong, you got to tell them, you were wrong. And then the one that was right, well, okay, don't get on your high horse because you're right. But at the end of the day, you still got to be a better person and still help the person even though you don't feel like you should. And one of my sons could not understand that. Why must I? Because that's what Christ did.
Amen.
And then he has to be quiet, hang up, and call me back. And we have to go over it again and again. But it's a learning experience. Everything's not going to go your way, even if you're right. Even if it's just not. And sometimes, I'm not saying you stoop down to other people's level, I'm saying ministry is there, and you have to learn how to use that. And sometimes it's not, but it's just by a smile. My bad, I didn't understand. Now I know. Now you keep it moving, and they'll look at you like you're crazy. And if people ain't looking at you like you're crazy, you must not be doing ministry. I look at my wife like she's crazy almost every day for the things that she do, and I'm like, why are you doing it? No, I'm saying. Don't put me on the spot. But she will
the
do
people
so
don't
many
know what
things.
You're saying.
Yeah, they do. They'll you know, she'll help here, she'll help there, she'll do this, she'll do that. And it's like, okay, why would you do that? And the sometimes it's like, I'm trying to protect her, but then again, the Lord is using her. So I got to check myself and move me out of the way and let the Lord use her, even though I think she's doing too much. So you'd be like, but that's where she gets her joy. She loves little kids. She loves noise. So I'm not that person. But because she is, I have to respect that, because that's where her joy comes from. Am I making sense to you?
Amen.
Okay, so when people try to tell you not to help people or tell you don't do this and don't do that, that's what we were put on this earth to do. We're supposed to be Christ-like.
We are here
to
be servant. We're here to serve. If you can't serve anybody, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Everybody looking for this big grand purpose, like you're supposed to be this or you're supposed to serve. So at the end of the day, you should be being a service. Now, saying run yourself into the ground, that's not the type of service I'm talking about. You got to have balance. So, but you should be being a service. You have to be
exactly.
A service.
And everyone has different abilities to serve. And, you know, some people like to serve kids. Okay, it may not be type person's a thing to do, that's not you then. But don't hear nobody, don't
right.
hinder people who do that. You may like to do...
Because you know people
so,
say, girl, I wouldn't be doing this, and girl,
right,
I would...
Exactly.
You know people say it all day long. You're not the one that's doing it. So, you're right.
When you give people
you
money,
say where
you
at.
You know, why are you giving all your money to the church? Well, if that's what you get joy in doing, then you do it. Because at the end of the day...
And I don't know why people... I hear people say that a lot. Why are you giving your money, all your money to the church? You giving unto the Lord. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I don't look at it like, oh, I'm giving money to the church. I'm giving unto the Lord. I am grateful for everything that he has done. And if I can give financially, I'm giving financially. If I can serve cleaning the bathroom, I'm going to start cleaning the bathroom. It doesn't matter. Wherever I get in, I'm going to fit in. So you just got to serve. Bottom line, just serve. It ain't about giving to the church. Give unto the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver.
And it's really, you know, we made the church into an individual and not to, like you're saying, to give unto the Lord because, you know, regardless of what you give, some people can't give money. All they can give is their love. Some people can
exactly.
only give their time. Some people can only get whatever. That's where your joy is going to come from. So don't bottle it all up and think you can only give it in spits and spats. Because if you give it in spits and spats, you're going to be bipolar. You're going to be up one day, down the next. And spiritually,
on that roller coaster.
Lord,
right?
The roller coaster the Lord just gave me, you'll be schizophrenic. Because you're trying to compare joy to happiness, and it doesn't go.
And there is a difference.
And then you'll look
Amen.
At people who are going through. I know some people are going through a lot right now, but you can't tell because they have the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
They're going through all of this, and you won't even know it. They don't bring it up. They don't complain about it. They just endure. They keep it going. And those are the type of people that
I admire.
You've
been looking at my notes. Yes.
Nah,
amen.
I can't read your handwriting. But these people do that kind of stuff, and
amen.
And you know they, you just don't know. And then you see people who been in church their whole life who just look like they're hanging on by a thread. And one minute they're happy and they shouting, and then as soon as they get home, they're confined to a misery. That's not God. That's not the Lord.
Mm-mm.
That's you struggling with happiness and joy. And if you have to leave your house and go to the church, shout, then go home and be miserable, you're missing something. Something's
yes.
not right.
Trying out for faking. Playing church.
I'm not going to, you know, be Dr. Phil and try to diagnose it, but it's very simple. Joy is spiritual. Happiness is physical. You can see a baby, you give a baby a sucker, he's so happy. Take the sucker away from the baby and see what happens. But that's a baby.
Right.
They'll have a temper tantrum. They will scream and holler. You put that sucker back in their hand, they're fine. But what it does is it makes it a mess. And they get it all on their face, they get it on their sticky, they dirty, they all this, because they don't know how to balance the spiritual and the physical. But put a sucker in their hand, they're good. Take it, they're going to cry. And we're living in a day, and I'm just going to send a shout out to people who go to church but can have church inside their home. They're not confined to four walls. Because now we're coming to a day where, okay, churches ain't like it used to be. And God is calling people out. And I don't want to get too far off the subject. And with this coronavirus and everything going on, you can't exhibit love the way you're supposed to. So it made me really question, okay, you can't hug everybody the way you used to. A lot of them hugs was phony and fake anyway.
Mm.
So in order to do away, we was going to do away with the whole thing and just forget it. But if you really love somebody, you're going to give them a hug. If you're really walking with the Lord, you're going to do as Christ did and keep it moving. I'm working.
You know, I was thinking about the people who you see, and it just seems like they're always joyful. They always have a kind word. It's always something encouraging that they have to give to somebody. And most of the time, those are the people who have experienced the most trials, the most heartache, the most, you know, going through situations. And the difference is that they learn to trust God no matter what. So the difference, you know, because when you learn to trust God at the end of the day, no matter how your situation looks, no matter how your situation feels, you're going to have that joy. It's going to be there. You're not going to let the enemy come in and steal it from you. And you were talking about endurance, and I had here like for to endure. We all endure trials. We all go through trials. And the scripture that came to my mind was the race is not given to the swift. We have to go through something. It's a race. And through the race, you know, things happen during the race. It may not be a fast sprint and you just gone. You have to endure some things, but you need to do it with joy. And we have joy because we have hope. And we have hope because God is with us. God is for us. And one day we will dwell with the Lord in mansions in glory. And James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. You have to be joyful. The scripture tells you that right there. So it's up to you how you handle a situation. The next situation that you face, try to think about it. Try to pay attention to it, I should say, and just see if you can find anything in that situation where you can get a glimpse of the joy out of the situation. That's what I want you to do. Just try to find some joy in the situation, no matter how it looks and no matter how you feel about it. Put your feelings on the back burner.
Not only that, but also you got to understand that when we're walking with Christ and we're trying to do the right thing, you know, the adversary is going to come against us. He's going to test us in areas where we're weak. It's just like today, you know, my wife was tested. She didn't feel like she would be appropriate to do the show because she didn't have her little timeout time to herself. Well, when you're serving, it's not your time. It doesn't belong to you. And when you're doing ministry, you just have to, you have to endure certain things. So that's that's part of it. The other part of it is also you have to man up and understand that whether you feel good or you don't feel good, regardless how you feel physically, you know, you're dealing in a spiritual war. And you got to be able to know that God will be able to take you through those times that you think that you can't make it, that you'll be able to make it.
And, you know, I was thinking a lot of times, a lot of people, I'm not saying all people, they're guilty of holding their feelings in. And the thing about it is God knows everything. And what I've learned to do is just say some things out loud to him. If I'm mad, I'm saying it out loud. I'm talking to the Lord just like I'm talking to my husband. At the end of the day, if I just, you know, just tell my husband I love him and I leave it at that, he know I love him. But when I say things verbally out loud to him, it can make the situation better. It's not just that he knows it, but we need to voice some things. We need to say some things out loud. The Lord already knows at the end of the day, but just talk to him out loud. Tell him how you feel. If you mad, let him know. If you frustrated, he knows anyway. Just voice it. Say it out loud. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, just voice it and say it out loud. And I have 4 points that I'm going to read off here. So one of my points was express joy through worship. You know, worship is just talking to God, thanking him. Evangelist Stanton yesterday, she did an awesome job, and she gave us the 7 keys. And part of that, you know, is worship. We have to worship. We have to thank the Lord for who he is and all that he has done for us. You know, we worship him through singing, dancing, clapping, shouting, or just a good old cry. Sometimes I'll just cry because I'm just so overwhelmed and so thankful with what the Lord is doing. Crying is cleansing. So we need to express our joy through worship. We need to spend time in God's word. The love letter. This is the blueprint for our life. I mean, we need to spend time in the Lord. These are ways that we can find joy. You can seek God through prayer. Pray about it. I already read you where you should be praying continually anyway. As Evangelist Stan was saying yesterday, you don't have to do, you know, all this big hoopla. You can pray all the time, anytime, at the red light, in the lunch line. It doesn't even matter. You should be praying continually. And then the last thing is fellowship with other believers. I believe it says we're overcome by the words of their testimony. We need to be around, you know, like-minded believers, because that helps us. We need that encouragement. You need somebody to offer you a kind word. We need to have people say, you can make it. I've been there. I've done that. I got your back. We need that type of thing in order to continue this joy that the Lord has already given us. We have to keep it going. It's not meant for us to keep it to ourselves. We have to share this joy with other people. It's not a selfish act. It's something that should be shared. So we should be doing that at all times.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right. I like that. No, you're good. I like that. That'll be a good place to end right there. Again, we're just trying to
end. I got one more scripture.
I'm about to lift your hand.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, so my last scripture is Romans 15 and 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So joy in God is victory. You know, victory in Jesus. It starts by recognizing, you know, the missteps or the trials or, you know, even death at times. And you got to stay strong. You got to stay in the Lord, because that's not the end of your story. Jesus has the victory, which means you have the victory. So walk in victory. Walk in joy. Go study the fruit of the Spirit. You should be having all these attributes onto your life. You should practice this daily. If you can, practice what you need to be doing. Sometimes you just got to shut up. Close your mouth. You don't have to talk in every situation. So at the end of the day, let the Lord lead and guide you and stop measuring your life against the standard of the world. Don't worry about what the world says. Open your Bible and see what God says. That's all I want to say.
All right. All right. What was that last scripture you read?
It was Romans 15 and 13.
Romans 15 and 13. Okay. So, you know, I would ask everyone to use the scriptures, hopefully examples we use, using ourselves, putting ourselves out there, letting you know we're just like everybody else. We get frustrated. We get angry, too. We're no better. And I don't want people to think because we have this platform that we have arrived, because we haven't. Not by a long shot. We got a long way to go. But sometimes our joy and our strength is tampered with. And the people around us does it the most from our standpoint, from what we look at. You know, but it could be people on your job. It could just be the way the world is. It could be your family. It could be your friend. It really doesn't matter. But at some point, you're going to have your joy and strength tampered with. So it's very important that we be focused and stay in the Word, because that's where you get your strength. And your joy comes from your strength. It's hand in hand. So with that being said, you know, I'm just so thankful that I have the joy of the Lord. I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
That I can praise the Lord even when I don't have no money. Or whether I have money, my praise doesn't matter how I praise the Lord. How I feel, if I'm feeling bad, I know I can still give God the praise because he's going to heal me and fix me. I have joy in knowing that. If you're feeling sick and like you want to give up, the Lord is taking you through another day because you want to give up and you got to give him the praise and the glory. You made it another day. Every day is not going to be beautiful. Every day you're not going to feel perfect, but it's another day that you can say that I'm praising the Lord. And
Amen.
That's what's going to give you, that's what's going to give you when you get to eternity. That's what's going to give you your swag, your walk, your talk. All what we do down here is preparing us for when we get there. So just remember that. And also just remember that sometimes we got to do ministry even when we don't want to, even when it's not popular to do, because that's what he called us to do. And that's part of your joy. I know my wife, when she's around kids, she has a different smile on her face. It's a different joy. It's just, you can tell, regardless of what's going on around, it's just, you see that. Or when she's getting ready to teach, you see the joy. You can see it. And it's not something that is not an everyday look. It has nothing to do with happiness. So when you're serving the Lord, these are the things you can tell. When people are really have the joy of the Lord, you can tell. And if you know someone that's going to do something, you can tell. So just remember that, ponder on that, look at the scriptures. I just take pride in when we come on here that we can share and we can be transparent. And not only be transparent, that we can just, hopefully we can help somebody. And I feel we are trying to help. I think you are getting some little nuggets, you know, to help you. Again, we did, this was birth during the coronavirus, and we're going to continue to have church in the house, because before we can go outside, we got to have church at home first before we can be effective in the community, before we can be effective in our family. We have to do it at home first. And that, and in 2021, that's what God is trying to let everybody know. You got to have a relationship with him at home. And then when you go out in them four walls, he'll help you and strengthen you. But you got to do it at home first. You can't be fake with
Amen.
This. You can't be phony with this. It has to start at home. And right now, you're starting to see separation, the world from the church. And a lot of people in the church now have been turned to the world. A lot of my associates have turned to different religions. because they're not going back consistently into the church like where it used to be. But that's a story for another day. I'm not going to get into all of that. Kate, I'm going to ask you to take us home. For all those that are listening over in London, Germany, and Nassau, we just want to say what's up. Thank you. I know it's late over there in some parts of London and Germany. So if you're hanging up this late in the hour, we just want to say thank you. We appreciate you. Our new people over in Nassau, I hope you all are safe over there. And we definitely keep you in prayer in all three places. And those that listen on Blog Talk, wherever state or city you're in, we want to say thank you for taking this time, this hour, to listen to us. And with that being said, I'm going to let Ms. K close us out. And Happy New Year. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study will be on, same time, same phone number. Tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study will be on. So if you're listening for the first time, we have Praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop Omar Zachary, his wife, First Lady Pamela Zachary, and his team of elders and evangelists will be teaching tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, or if you can't, www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or dial 845-277-9094. Listen to us live tomorrow, 7 p.m. Go ahead, Kay.
All right. Father God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for letting your will be done. Thank you for leading and guiding us. We pray that someone was touched by the words that were said. Lord, you know who the message was for. We ask that you just continue to let your will be done in our lives. Continue to help us edify you to the best of our ability, to give you the most highest, gracious praise that's worthy of your name. We thank you for just everything that you're doing. Thank you for being with our families at this time. Thank you for the new year. We pray that whatever the will is of you, that it will continue to be done, not anything according to us, but according to you. Thank you for just being who you are and for choosing us to be vessels to be used by you. I'm going to close with Psalms 16:11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So thank you, Lord, for everything and being the victory in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night. Happy New Year, everyone.